Good morning. We are in the middle of a series of messages about the basic truths of the Christian faith. Today's topic is about loving and caring for one another in the body of Christ. There are over 60 one another verses in the New Testament, where it instructs us in various ways to love and care for one another. 16 of them tell us to love one another, and it's a commandment given to us by Christ. During the Passover week, as Jesus was having a meal with the disciples, He got up and went around and washed all their dirty feet. And when He got done, He gave us what is called the New Commandment. This is in John 13, 34 and 35. And He said this to His disciples, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this will all men know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." How did Jesus show His love to His disciples? He washed their dirty feet. He actually showed them, that small group of men, how much He loved them by being willing to wash their dirty feet. Some of them resisted, but He did it anyway. And then He told them that they should do the same for others. And the important part of this verse for me is the last phrase. It says, "By this will all men know you are my disciples if you love one another." If we love one another in the body of Christ, it will be a witness to all men, not those just inside the church, but all men. And if we do that, the world will know we are His disciples, and they will be more responsive to us when we share the love of Christ with them, if they've seen it in our lives. The other one another verses cover a wide range of personal relationships within the body of Christ. These verses tell us to forgive one another, spur one another on, do good deeds, to be devoted to one another, to accept, to admonish, to serve, to be kind, to encourage, to build up, be patient, hospitable, sympathetic, restore, and bear one another's burden. They tell us how we are to relate one-on-one with one another, the same way Jesus did with His 12 disciples. Most of the one another instructions cannot be practiced in a large group setting like this morning. Teaching is vital and critical, but to really minister to one another, it needs to happen in a different setting. needs to happen when people get together one-on-one or in smaller groups where they can be open and honest and vulnerable about the real issues of their life. Just like Janet was with us this morning. The purpose of the message today is to encourage us to find at least one other person or a small group of people where you can share, discuss, and pray about how to live your Christian life in accordance with biblical truth. Together you can talk about relationships with others, dating, sex, finding a mate, getting married, living as a married couple, raising children, in-laws, outlaws, finances, and my stage, retirement. The point is, we can help each other apply biblical truth to the real issues that are important to us. Now, today we have a relatively new term for this process, and we call it mentoring. Mentoring usually involves a personal relationship with an older person or persons who has had more experience in life. And a mentor is a person who's willing to invest in another person to help them navigate through their life journey. We can all be involved in helping one another apply biblical truths to real life situations. The one another verses give us a lot of direction and a lot of guidance in terms of our personal relationships with one another. I would ask you to turn with me in your Bible to Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16. Normally, when we speak on this passage, we're talking about how God has given certain spiritual leadership gifts to the church to prepare God's people for works of service and to build up the body of Christ toward maturity. We usually talk about it in the context of spiritual gifts. But I want you to notice something else this morning. Let me read it. This is Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up in Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And I want you to notice the last phrase in verse 16. The whole body grows and builds itself up in love. In preparing for this message, that is really the first time I had really noticed that the body builds itself up in love. Basically through doing all the one another's among ourselves. And I want you to notice four words in those two verses. There's the verse we. There's the word we, there's the word whole, there's the word every, and there's the word each. What do you think that means? It means it's for all of us that we are to be involved in building one another up in the body of Christ. So the building up process involves all these one another commands, and it's not a spiritual gift. Most other instructions in the New Testament where the one another of verses appear is not in the context of spiritual gifts. It's for the whole body. I want to illustrate the significance of these loving one another and building one another instructions this morning by relating part of my own spiritual life story. I have been in a church building since I was 2 weeks old. But I did not accept Christ as my Lord and Savior until I was 15. I conservatively estimate that I've listened to at least 7,500 sermons and Sunday school classes. I've heard lots of truth. I've learned much from all that teaching, but the big spiritual growth spurts in my life have come from personal involvement with other men and women in my life. I want to tell you about four of them this morning. For the purpose of encouraging you to be involved in mentoring others. The first one is my dad. This is my mom and dad. I could have put up a picture in their Sunday best, but they only look that way 3 hours a week. They look this way the rest of the time. And I know this is in the 1960s because I can see my horse in the background. My dad was born in 1901. And my mom in 1903. During the Great Depression in 1933, they bought a small farm in Washington State. They were both committed believers. We went to church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday night. My dad was an extremely hard worker, and he showed and taught us that work comes before play. He was a stickler about that. His daily example and walk with the Lord really impressed me. He got up about 5 o'clock every morning and spent an hour reading his Bible. And when we were outside working on the farm, he would talk to us sometimes about what he was learning in the Bible. And in the evening after dinner, we had family devotions. During these times, we memorized scripture verses. King James Version. If you hear me quote King James Version, you know when I learned it. And that happened mostly at my mom's insistence and persistence with the three of us in the second generation of my family. The older I get, the more I appreciate and realize how blessed I was to have a father like him. He was a great mentor. I encourage all of you dads and moms to pour spiritual truth into your kids and to be a good example to them. Never underestimate the impact you're having on them. Second person I want to talk about is Walt. Walt was my undergraduate advisor at Washington State University. This is a picture of Walt and Emily and Eleanor. This is last year's Christmas card. Now, I knew Walt 45 years ago. And he was bald then. He said it was a tremendous advantage. It made him look wise. When we arrived at Washington State University, Diane and I had been married 1 week. He invited us to church and to their home for lunch the very first week we were there. During the first semester at Washington State University, different families in the church invited us home to lunch for every Sunday but one. Spoke volumes to us. After the first semester, I became Walt's undergraduate research assistant. So I got to spend a lot more time with him alone. Walt wasn't an aggressive evangelist, but he did share his faith with others. He loved people, and he lived his faith at home and in work and in the church where he was a leader. He showed me that you can be a committed believer in Christ and academically religious, not religious, rigorous, at the same time. Some academics is a religion. given my previous church background, where people were extremely skeptical of anybody academic, this was a huge lesson for me. And most of it was caught rather than taught by Walt. From WSU, we went to the University of California, Davis for graduate school. When we arrived, Diane was 9 months and 3 weeks pregnant. Brian was born the second week we were in Davis. That's a long story. Keith was born 15 months later. We attended a good conservative evangelical church in Davis. You know it was good because that's where all the crusade and NAV people were. Okay. We participated in the services and ministered to others. The last year we were there, we cleaned the church building. During those 4 years, no one from the church took a personal interest in us as individuals or as a young, struggling family. We were good friends with several other young families in our apartment complex, but none of them were from our church. We arrived in Blacksburg in 1970, where I started working in the Department of Agricultural Economics. We attended a growing Bible-teaching church here in town. The pastor was Don Emerson, the same man who led our Spiritual Life Conference last February here at BCF. Don shared his love for Jesus Christ and the Scriptures with us in the church from the pulpit. He shared so many things. He shared his struggles. He shared his failures. He shared his temptations. And I'll never forget the message about his dreams for the church and the ministry in BC, in our church. And it all had to do with international students and what difference we could make in their life. He strongly encouraged all of us to memorize Scripture and to share the gospel with others. After a couple of years, Don asked me to do a Bible study with him. I'd never done a Bible study alone with another man before. It was a basic navigator study. Basic stuff. He shared with me how important his daily time with the Lord was in his personal life and in his life as a pastor. He challenged me to start having a regular quiet time. I started having more quiet times, and over time it has grown into the most important practice in my life in terms of my personal relationship with the Lord, with my family, and with ministry to others. Don also challenged me to make serving God a priority in my life. He was pretty good at spurring one another on to love and good deeds. Like all assistant professors, I was working very hard at Virginia Tech, knowing that within 5 years I had to have a good record or I would lose my job. Don encouraged me to rethink my priorities in terms of being a husband, a father of 3 small children, my work schedule, and being available to serve the Lord in our church and on campus. At his urging and the Lord's conviction, I committed to try to keep my work week to 45 hours a week or less. Of course, I didn't succeed every week, but God greatly blessed that decision in my life. Don became very ill and had to leave Blacksburg to seek medical help and rest. After he left, the church called a new pastor. He was a relatively new believer, and his wife became ill with cancer. The church began to decline in numbers, and disagreement grew among the congregation on how to handle what was going on. I was chairman of the deacons at that time and was caught in the middle in between the pastor and the congregation and their wishes and desires. It was an extremely difficult experience for me. During this time, Diane was attending Bible study fellowship taught by Elna Ribby. Because Diane was the children's leader, we were invited to a social at the Ribby's house. I met Paul, and we quickly realized we shared some common ministry interests. We started having many long discussions about what the scriptures taught about church leadership and structure. Paul's father was a minister, so he had experienced a lot of the same situations I was going through. Eventually, in the fall of 1977, Diane and I decided it would be best for our family if we started to attend BCF. I gave my first sermon at BCF in January 1978. A long time ago. But Paul did one other thing that really drew my heart to him. During the 70s, my oldest son developed kidney problems, which eventually led to dialysis for 6 months and then a kidney transplant at Duke in 1980. The operation was successful, but I was in quite a bit of pain from having donated a kidney. About a week after the operation, Paul borrowed a station wagon, put a mattress in the back of it, came to Duke, and picked me up and brought me home to Blacksburg. I said, "Do you have to hit all the bumps? They hurt." (Laughter) Brian and Diane stayed at Duke for a month before they got to come home. Time does not permit me to tell you or talk about all the other things Paul and Elna have done since then to help us mature in Christ and to serve Him. So what is the point of this message? The point is that Christ has commanded and instructed us to love one another in the church. He has designed these one another relationships to help build up the church. We all need to be personally involved with others, either individually or in small groups. Together, we can talk about our life experiences and discuss how we can live in accordance with biblical truth. My experience has been that these mentoring-type relationships have resulted in tremendous spiritual growth in my life. I have shared this morning about four men who have tremendously impacted me early in my spiritual life. They all mentored me in different ways and in different circumstances. Hopefully sharing some of these will help you see how your life can be used to make a tremendous difference in someone else's life. But we must be available and willing to share our life experiences with others. The question is, are we available and willing to help or be helped by someone in the process of loving and building one another up in the body of Christ? You might be asking yourself, well, how do I go about finding someone to help me grow in my spiritual life? The good beginning step is to participate in a smaller group where you can meet and get to know other people. Now, there are several ways we try to do that in BCF. The primary one is house groups, where 10 to 15 people meet together regularly during the week in homes to study the Bible, to fellowship together, and to pray together for one another. In these groups, you can get to know people and begin practicing the one another verses. You can also look for someone, a person, or a couple you are attracted to and are responsive to you. Then you can be bold enough to ask them, after prayer, if you could meet together for lunch or some other setting, with the idea of developing a mentoring relationship. At the front desk this morning, you can get a list of the current house groups that we have at BCF, and don't hesitate to call the leader listed if you want to know more about that house group. And there are a number of other smaller groups in BCF where you can meet and get to know people. There are at least 10 adult Bible studies going on this semester, and many of them have small discussion groups as part of the class. If you attend one of those classes, you can get to know other people. There are many other groups, and I will probably offend some by not mentioning all of them, but there are other groups that meet at other times. Some of these are Mothers of Preschool Children, what we call MOPS, Christian Service Brigade for Boys, Pioneer Girls, Pioneer Clubs for Girls, 217 for high school kids, Gravitate for Young Life, for young adults, Young Life, yes. And Prime Timers for older people. One of the best ways to meet people and develop a mentoring relationship is to get involved in a group that is ministering to others. And when you do, look for someone you are attracted to and who responds to you, so that you can get together and share more about applying biblical truth to your life. A new marriage mentoring ministry is now available for couples who would like to work on improving some aspect of their marriage. 10 couples in BCF have recently been trained to mentor other couples, other married couples. If you are interested in this ministry, please contact John and Marcia Jadon. God has designed the church so that all of us, as individuals, can be involved in building up the church by loving and caring for one another. If you are not already involved in a mentoring-type relationship, I urge you to take the necessary steps to find someone who would be willing and interested to meet with you for mutual encouragement and growth. The relationship will give your spiritual growth a tremendous boost. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus, who died for us, who paid the penalty for our sins, that through faith in Him, our sins can be forgiven and we can be made right with you. And Father, we thank you that you have designed to put us together in a church body, and you have told us to love one another and to build one another up in love. Father, I just pray that this morning that your Spirit would touch people's hearts and they would seek out a mentoring relationship if that's what they need in their life right now. And Father, that others would be willing to be a mentor for those who want to grow in Christ. Father, we just pray that you would knit us all together as a body, as we are a witness to the world here in Blacksburg and around the world. Father, we just ask that we would be good ambassadors for you who died for us. In Christ's name, amen.